In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, good morning to everybody out there in the Central Valley, listening on the app or listening on your radio. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN Radio. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. Blackstone and Sierra, or in between Sierra and Herndon. You guys know exactly where it is. This is where I've done my show every day, every Saturday, I should say. 10 to noon, recapping games, talking about the wonderful athletes from the Central Valley. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. I'm looking at jackets from Sanger and Kerman and Bullard, Selma. Just had a really good conversation with the guys here at First String Sports. I come early. I come about an hour early, and we like to chop it up. They're fans of, obviously fans of sports and fans of high school sports as well, and it's always fun to talk about the games from last night, games from previous weeks, the hot topics that are out there. And so, yeah, First String Sports, definitely a place to be. Thank you to those guys. Also, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN. Right now, 49 degrees, chilly. Last night, it got super cold. I felt like it dropped about 20 degrees from kickoff, 7 o'clock kickoff, to when the game ended. What game am I talking about? Well, we're going to be talking a lot about all the championship games from last night. Clovis North and Central. Can't wait to break that down. But it got really, really cold at the end of that game. Today, a high of 62, so got that to look forward to. It's going to be sunny, at least. So when you're in the sun, it's going to feel really nice. But but tonight's going to be pretty darn cold as well. So how was your Thanksgiving? It's Thanksgiving week, and if you played during Thanksgiving week, if you practiced during Thanksgiving week, that means that you were playing in a Central Section championship game on Friday. I had a pretty good Thanksgiving. Spent it, half of it in Fair Oaks, California, where my in-laws are, and then at my mom's house on Thursday. And it was a massive, massive meal for only six of us. I mean, we could have invited the entire, well, I don't know about the entire, but maybe a quarter or a third of the Clovis North football team over for Thanksgiving. And there might have been a little bit of leftovers on that from Thanksgiving. But just what a wonderful week. Lots to give thanks to. Obviously, this is a time when we reflect on all the good things in our lives. And there are a lot of good things that happened last night. Again, championship Friday. We're going to get into those games really, really quick. I do want to mention what's happening right now. State cross country meet, CIF state cross country meet at Woodward Park. Buchanan girls are heavily favored to win another one. Those girls are dominating, and they're not going to have any drop-offs soon. So that's going on at Woodward Park. And then tonight at Save Mart Center, a huge deal. There's basketball games happening, actually a few last night as well. 4 o'clock, St. Joe's and West Ranch is playing. Bullard and St. Bernard at 5:30. At 7 o'clock, defending state champs, a couple of them, San Joaquin Memorial is playing Linwood, two defending state champs. Pretty awesome there. And then the nightcap. Nightcap at 8:30. Clovis North is going to be playing Sierra Canyon. You guys know Sierra Canyon. They got Scottie Pippen's son is on the team. LeBron's son, Bryce, just transferred back. He was there, transferred. Now transferred back, he's immediately eligible. Imagine that. So tonight, Save Mart Center, a lot of cool games. I might be headed over there later this afternoon. All right, so last night, let's get into some fun action. We were able to broadcast the Clovis North and Central football game. You know the story about Central. 7 seed, back-to-back-to-back Central Section champs in 17 through 19, that state championship in 2019. Clovis North, the undefeated Broncos, right? Central have a chance in that one? Yeah, absolutely. Central is rolling. Beat number 2 Frontier on the road. Beat the 2-time defending Central Section champs Liberty on the road. Played Clovis North in the track, obviously, for the track championship. Clovis North beat them 27-20. So a rematch. Who is going to topple the mighty Clovis North Broncos this year? That's been a question that we've talked about all year. Nobody's figured it out. Nobody's figured out the formula. Well, actually, I think they have figured out the formula, but executing the formula proved a little more difficult. Formula is to stop their running game, run heavy team, over 3,500 yards as a team. How do you stop it? Well, tough to stop. Central actually busted out to a 14-7 halftime lead, thinking, man, they figured them out. They've slowed down Clovis North. They've done a good job of putting them in third and long situations. They're looking pretty sharp. Clovis North said, nah, we're good. We're going to make some defensive adjustments at halftime. They played shutout football the rest of the half, got two huge interceptions, and McKay Madsen, number three for Clovis North, was an absolute beast all night. All night. Three rushing touchdowns. One was at a wildcat, 3 yards. Had a 33-yard rushing touchdown in the first half, and then had this incredible 47-yard, actually, touchdown run on the right-hand side, stiff-armed a guy around the 6-yard line, pushed him down in the ground, and went into the end zone. Defensively, he was a beast as well, all over the field, best player on the field. Clovis North, they did it. They beat Central 24-14. They are the D1 Central Section champs. They're going to be talking with Coach Mike Jaycott, hearing straight from him, and his quarterback Mario Cosma at the top of hour number two. So I'm going to save a lot of the details about the game. It's kind of the Cliff's Notes version. Save the details to talk to Coach Jaycott about that. But what a wonderful, wonderful story that is. A couple years ago in the COVID season, 3 years ago to be exact, they were pretty much left for dead. They got their butts kicked into three games that they played that season. Butts kicked. And one of the teams was Central. They beat them 69-0. And they come back and beat Central to win the D1 championship game in 2023. Incredible story. All right, who else do we got on the show? After the break, another great story, another great game. We got Central Valley Christian head coach Mason Hughes. He's been on. Yeah, he's been on the last couple of weeks. I get it. But they did it again. They had to come back against Lemoore to win that one. They had to come back in the fourth quarter. They ended up winning 27-26. Bryson Donaldson is a dude headed to Fresno State. He didn't rush for the game-winning touchdown. He caught a 45-yard touchdown pass. Ended up being the game winner with about 4.5 minutes left. Talking with Coach Hughes at around, let's say 10:22 or so after the break. Mark Tennis, he's an editor and content creator for Cal High Sports. He came on last year at this time. He does a fantastic job predicting where teams are going to be playing in their state playoff games. Again, it's the winners of our Central Section will be matched up either north or south to play in. It's automatically the semifinal. One game and then the state championship game. Mark is going to break that down, talk about Clovis North, where they're ranked in the state. He's seen them live, get his opinion on where they are at state-ranked-wise, where they're going to be playing their game. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm 94% sure it's going to be a home game, Veterans Memorial Stadium next week against De La Salle. Yeah, that De La Salle conquered. Right, the storied program that won 151 games in a row. Most likely they're going to be coming to town next Friday, so we have that to look forward. We're going to be hearing from Mark Tennis right before hour number two. So, again, I mentioned Mike Jaycott coming on the show, top of the hour. Mario Cosma hopefully is coming on. He's the quarterback of the team. Looking forward to talk to him. At the bottom of hour number two, Strathmore coach Jeremy Blackwell will be joining us via telephone. His Spartans won D6 by beating Mendota 14-7. And another great story about Jeremy Blackwell. You guys may or may not know this, but he almost passed away this last summer. He had a heat stroke, fell down into, and I can't wait for him to explain it, fell into like a light layer of mud, and his wife found him 2 hours later. Barely alive, sent him to the hospital, was in a self-induced coma for 8 days, came out of it, recovered, trouble walking and all that, of course, recovered, and his team went out and won the D6 championship. Unbelievable story. Can't wait to talk to Jeremy Blackwell. It's going to be at the bottom of hour number two. All right, really quick before we hit a break, D3 championship, the Mighty Kerman Lions. Their magical run throughout the playoffs finally came to an end. They fell to Mission Oak on the road, 34-14. A lot of storylines in that one as well. You guys know that Marty Martin is the head coach at Mission Oak. It's his second year there. Marty Martin was the coach at Clovis West when he won in 2010. Did not coach after that season. Went to Mount Whitney, now at Mission Oak. And they came back. Kerman was actually ahead in that one and was driving in the second half, actually in the second quarter. And they were stopped by Mission Oak. Mission Oak drove down the field, scored a touchdown to make it 13-7. And then after that, it was all Hawks in that one. So congratulations to Mission Oak for winning the D3 championship. And then in D4, Torres beat Dos Palos 69-14. Not a misprint. 69-14. That game was 49-7 at halftime at Dos Palos. Torres is the 5 seed. Dos Palos was the 2 seed. I think I say this a lot. Lots of storylines in this one. Well, it certainly did. Those of you that are well-informed, or maybe if you're not even well-informed, you just kind of heard about what went on last week between Shafter and Torres, the controversy at the end of the game. There was an illegal catch on the two-point conversion that gave Torres the win. Gabe Camarillo is actually driving down to San Diego right now for the Fresno State game. Gabe Camarillo talked about this on his show. I wasn't able to talk about it because a lot of information was coming out. But eventually the win stood with Torres, and they advanced to the championship game and obviously won the whole darn thing. Maybe soon I'll have a little more time for me to discuss this and all the goings-on about it and my thoughts and opinions. But today's a huge show. I want to give a lot of shout-outs, a lot of glory to these kids that won Central Section titles. So maybe for another time, but I definitely have some opinions on that one. And then the D5 championship game, Wasco defeated Bishop 42-41. That game was at Bishop. And if you're like, what the heck is Bishop and where's Bishop? Well, it was a 4.5 hour drive, 4,000 feet elevation. It wasn't snowing, but it was darn cold. So Bishop was 11-1 going into that one. They actually have a 2019 Division VI title, but Wasco beat them on their home field. All right, there's a little recap of the games from last night. I'm going to be hearing from the coaches themselves. We got three coaches of Valley Championship teams, Central Section Championship teams. We'll be talking with Coach Mason Hughes after the break, Mike Jaycott at 11 o'clock, and Jeremy Blackwell from Strathmore at around 11:30 or so. So after the break, we're going to be hearing from Mason Hughes on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. All right, lots to get to today. This should be a five-hour show, man. Lots of stuff to break down. Championship Friday last night, Coach Mason Hughes, head coach at CVC. They did it, took care of business, another one-point win. They beat Lamar 27-26 last night for the school's seventh title, I believe. Now, Mason, this is the third time that you've been on the show, I think five total. And you know how Saturday Night Live, they have those jackets? You know, indicating how many times you've come on the show. You know, Christopher Walken's a seven-timer. Will Farrell's like a seven-timer as well. So maybe we could get you a little Central Valley Sports Report jacket and, you know, put the number five on you. And then the next year when you come on, we'll put number six. We'll keep adding to the total.
Yeah, let's do it, man. It's like Tom Hanks. I remember those episodes. to be in the same sentence as Christopher Walken, I don't know if it gets any better than that.
You guys did it again last night. Another comeback win. Wild atmosphere, I'm sure, there in Visalia on your home field. Just, walk us through that fourth quarter. I know there are a couple lead changes there, but why don't you start the fourth quarter and just take us from there, how that game unfolded.
Oh, man. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I haven't watched the film yet, and somebody was asking me that last night too, like, hey, what happened in the fourth quarter? And my answer was, I don't know. you get caught up in the game and you're just trying to, make the next move, make the corrections that need to be made. And, both teams were trying to turn the ball over again. That's kind of 2 weeks in a row. Say that. And, it's just constant. You know, we're looking at the film on the sideline, trying to figure out what we need to do defensively, while our offensive guys are, calling plays. And you know, and then we would score a touchdown really fast, or we'd turn the ball over, right? And so then it was like, okay, back to, you know, calling defense. And then, you know, and then it seemed like in the fourth quarter, we were getting stops. And so, you know, we weren't getting three and outs, but we weren't giving up long drives. And we had pretty much, I thought, controlled the game defensively in the second half. And so, you know, so we caused them to turn the ball over once. We stopped them a couple of times. We had a we punted and they muffed the punt, and our offense was able to score. We were able to throw the ball probably a little bit more than we were expecting. But Brett played really good in the fourth quarter, and then we hit Bryson on a big kind of seam over the middle, and so you know, I mean, we were just able to hold on, to be honest. We needed to get first down to win the game, and that's really hard against their defense, especially when they know you're going to run. And we were able to convert on fourth and two with about 30 seconds left, and they didn't have any more timeouts, and so we won. But you know, it was mostly just really physical, tough football in the fourth quarter. They have a player number three, Kobe Green, who just has a knack for making plays, and you know, he alone caused three fumbles last night.
Wow.
One of them was a huge hit on Bryson, and the ball popped out. And then two other times, he just literally rips the ball out of the ball carrier's hands and then takes off, right? He takes off running with it. That's not odd for him. Like, you know, if you watch all their games, you see him do stuff like that all the time. He's just a really darn good high school football player. If he wants to play, he's going to be able to play college football. I mean, I hope he comes over to COS right down the street. He's a great player.
So the Donaldson catch with about 4.5 minutes left that made it a 27-26 game. Where was he lined up? Because it's, you know, it looked like he was over the middle of the field, almost like a seam route. What play did you dial up on that?
Yeah, it's just a. He's out of the backfield, and he runs, you know, he's so fast that he's able to run a seam from the backfield, right? It's basically a 7-on-7 play, right? And most people hate those plays, but you got kids who can do it. You want to run it. So, he's, you know, it's really hard to cover a back out of the backfield who's running a vertical route down the middle of the field, right? So that puts a lot of pressure on a linebacker. He's probably not as fast as Bryson or as good in space with the ball. And that's basically what it was. It was, you know, basically a wheel route on the backfield that turns into the seam really quick. So, we've been running it for a long time. We started running that with, we had a kid named Connor Page back in the day. And, he was able to run it. First kid we had run it, and Jalen Renning ran it well, and we've pretty much ran it ever since.
Talking with Mason Hughes, the head coach at CVC. Cavaliers defeated Lemoore last night, 27-26. You know, Lemoore, they had athletes all over the field. I'm glad you mentioned Kobe Green, because that dude is a stud. He made some incredible plays against Clovis West in their game that I was able to see. You know, when you're trying to game plan for a defense like that, when it has a special player, I'm sure they lined him up in different spots and probably spied Bryson a lot. But when you're trying to game plan for a defense that has a lot of athletes and find weaknesses in their D, was that in game as well? You're just trying to move some guys around and dial up plays, or is it something like, hey, we're going to keep forcing it here until we find a weakness for Lemoore?
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that you're, you know, I mean, you make tons of adjustments in game, but it's very rare that you're, you know, Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and drawing stuff on the ground, right? Like, that just doesn't happen. And so, you know, we go into a week, and the good thing about Lemoore is we're very familiar with them, right? We know them very well, and so we knew who their guys were. And obviously, Kobe Green is the focal point. You go in with a plan of here's what they've shown, here's how we can attack that, here's their strength versus our strengths, and weaknesses versus our weaknesses. We want to avoid our weaknesses and attack theirs, and try to put our guys in a position where, you know, our alignment and on our personnel are strong to their weakness, right? Like that's basically what we do all week, right? And then you have to have a little bit of a, okay, if I were them, and this was working against me, Lamore, what would I do, right? And so, you know, I think when we do that, it often starts with their best players. And so what would they do with, you know, number nine is a really good DN for them. What would they do? How would they move them to nose, right? Could they do something there that would adjust to us, right? And then obviously number three, you know, they're going to put them on a number two receiver. They're going to put them as a linebacker. They're going to, you know, put them in the middle of the field. You know, what are they going to do defensively? And so, you know, we have those basically plan A and plan B and plan C. And, you know, once you get past plan C in high school football, I don't think you have enough time to practice anything past that, right? And so that's kind of the hard thing, right? You know, Kyle Shanahan, he has tons of time. And so he's probably got plan Z, you know. And so that's the difference between the, you know, NFL, college, and high school is that you just don't have the time constraints, right? And so, you know, at a certain level, yeah, all the way we're at plan C, and it may look like we're bashing our head against the wall, but that's what we practiced, you know, and that's what we went with. And so, and I thought we did that well. You know, I think the turnovers hurt us last night.
Yeah.
Right? Again, so, you know, our offense is scoring lots of points, and they'll continue to score lots of points unless we turn the ball over. You know, and if we turn the ball over, then we won't score as much. And so, yeah, I thought we moved the ball well. I think we punted twice, you know.
Did Bryson punt?
Well.
Who punted for you guys?
Of course. Yeah,
that's a weapon, man. That's a weapon.
Yeah, of course he was. But yeah, you know, I think those turnovers were costly. And the thing is they weren't. I think we had one turnover that was really like, yeah, that was kind of that was our bad. We screwed up. You know, the other three were Kobe Green.
Yeah.
You know? The other three were just that guy's good. And so, you know, and so yeah, we're trying not to attack him, but I mean, you can run away. In fact, two of the plays, we're running completely away from him, and he just runs from the other side at the end of a big run. Like both times, two of those runs were you know 8-9 yard runs, and the guy comes over and just rips the ball out of the guy's hand. So, you know, so I don't know how you can scheme against that outside of just saying like run out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah. Bryson Donaldson did it again. We mentioned his Tehachapi game, and then, you know, 30 carries, and then what I think 37 or so against Tulare last week. Is he the best running back, high school running back you've ever seen?
Oh,
I mean, you got some five-star guys that have been around the valley, but watching him firsthand and his value in these playoffs.
Well, he's the best I've coached. I mean, yeah, I think Kendall Milton's probably the best I've seen, but and that's taken a lot away from other guys too, man. I mean, Cashman was unbelievable. Yeah, there's some great players in this. I wouldn't say that, but he's the best I've ever coached, and he's definitely the you know, just his character for being a superstar is really really cool to be around. But he's also a workhorse, man. He's not afraid to you know, like you said, carry the ball that many times. Like that was a concern of ours. You know, you got to think, you know, this guy's got a bigger future than just high school football, but yet he really wants to win and he wants to compete, and so. You know, we're constantly thinking of that. Like, you know, do we really want this kid carrying the ball 30-plus times over and over and over again in the most physical games he's ever going to play in high school, you know? And so that's constantly on our mind. But at the same time, like, the guy's a competitor, and his answer is, I want to win. So if I have to take it 50, then great. If I need to catch two passes, then great. If I need to be a decoy, then great, you know? So I think that, yeah, I mean, that's the part about him that's so great is he's just an unbelievable competitor who just wants to win.
And we saw that. It was evident on those touchdown runs that we've seen highlights of. He is pumped big time, and you know he's a team guy. And you know I love to watch players on the sidelines, whether it's in the dugout in baseball or basketball and football, and just see how they interact with their teammates and if they encourage their teammates and you know or they get down on themselves. And Bryson is exactly what he's a coach's dream. Not only performs on the field, but you know, guys gravitate towards him, and he never, you know, maybe a couple times after a fumble, which is very rare. Saw him put his head down for just a second, and then he's back up. And so he's a complete package, and Fresno State is definitely getting a good one for years to come. We can't wait to watch him at the next level. What was, Mason, I want to ask you, what was the celebration like? You know, they beat you last year in that wild and crazy game where they scored 62 points, again, on your home field. What was the celebration like? Was it more just relief? We did it, jumping up and down. Talk to me.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this last night. It was weird. Like we've been in a lot of these games, you know, and then I think we've lost more than we've won. So those are always crummy. The last few that we've won, I remember the first one was the first one, right? So that's special, right? I remember being unbelievably emotional. I remember our senior class that year being really emotional when they won, lots of tears. And then the second one, we won on a last second field goal. So that was, that makes it emotional just because of that, right? Like that's unreal. Last night was, it was weird. It was kind of surreal. I mean, our kids were pumped. I was totally, obviously I'm full of joy, but, I don't want to say it was relieved. I don't think I felt like that at all. It was just, it was almost surreal, Paul. Like, a long time ago, we thought we had something special at this school, and we got good coaches, and I thought the kids were the right type of kids. We just needed to, be pushed. The school was so good at just kind of winning Division Five, right? And there's no knock on that. There's some great players, but they were never given the opportunity to really push themselves and challenge themselves at a really high level. They all wanted to, right? Like those kids wanted to play the best. They would have dreamed of playing by Vista Unified Schools. They would have dreamed of playing Hanford and Lemoore and Clovis Schools. And so once the way the CIS kind of does things changed in playoffs, and it kind of opened up the opportunity for teams like us to play at the highest level, it just changed everything, right? And so it changed the kids' perspective. And so, one of the goals that we had was trying to get up as high as we could, right? So Division II was kind of where all the Visalia schools were. And so that was kind of the goal. And to actually be in it, and then last night to, win it, it's just an unbelievable feeling, right? And so I don't know. For me, that's what the celebration was. It was like, I just, this is a long road. This is years in the making, and to be able to be blessed to be able to accomplish that was just really cool. I think our kids feel that too, but they also are in the moment, right? The Valley Champs, and so they're pumped, right? You're taking lots of pictures.
Maybe a few TikToks
from other schools in our pictures. Yeah. Oh no, I left my phone. I forgot my phone. So I had to use one of my players' phones for our infamous TikTok. So yeah, we did that. But I think even as coaches, right? Like we're all big picture guys, right? And so you feel like I think surreal is the right word, right? Paul, listen, man, CBC won a Division II Valley Championship. Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It is. It is. And it's a testament to you and your vision and your admin. How have you gone about it? I mean, I've watched your whole career, Mason, from the time you were a player at Emmanuel, playing football and playing baseball to being a head coach. It's been, from my perspective, just a joy. And to see you mold these young men and women and to talk to you periodically. Hey, you're five times on a radio show here hosted by me. That's pretty darn awesome. But hats off to you and credit to you. And you deserve everything that all your flowers, and it's just another feather in your cap with winning a championship. But I know you're doing the right thing on and off the field as well, Mason.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet. All right, last question: how many helpings of leftovers have? Is there anything left in the refrigerator?
Well, I got my family here from out of town, so they. They help us clean up the food. But, we have every year, I don't know if you know this story, but we have an O-line coach, Chris Ritchie, who passed away this last spring, who every year, the day before Thanksgiving, him and his boys, who all played for me, playing for me or have played for me, they would always deep pit turkey and ham and beef and just give it to, hundreds of things of meat that they would deep pit at their house. They built this deep pit thing. And so, every year I look forward to Coach Richie's deep pit. And this year, because he's no longer with us here, man, his boys did it. And so I still got that meat in the fridge. We'll be eating that for a while. And I don't know. I think turkey's gone. I don't know. I was looking the other day. I think it's gone. Stuffing's gone. You know, my favorite stuff is gone. I don't really like turkey, but stuffing's gone. So, but yeah, that's what's cool about this week, right? Like, you get to play that football game, but like, for me, I always have my family in town for it, you know? And so we have kind of a running joke, right? If we win that semifinal game, my sister and brother-in-law and their kids come here. And if we don't, we go up there, and we haven't been up there in a long time.
Well, it's been an amazing run, and we'll find out. I've got Mark Tennis on the line. He's going to be coming up after the break. So we'll find out where he predicts you guys are going to play next week. The season's certainly not over, but you guys did it. You won a D2 championship. Mason, good job, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. That was Coach Mason Hughes of Central Valley Christian. We're going to be talking with Mark Tennis. Where's Clovis North going to be playing next week? Where's Central Valley Christian? Obviously, he's not the authority. He's not CIF, but he's got a pretty clear picture on what things are going to look like next week. Coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Christian. Yeah, I've known him for a while. I'll be honest. I'm honest about who I know on the show and who I have relationships with. Yeah, I was able to coach him at Emmanuel High School for one season, and I played sports with his uncle. And I've watched his whole career unfold in front of my eyes. And yeah, a little bit of pride in my heart as well. I don't openly root for schools and teams, but yeah, I mean, he's done a fantastic job there at CVC. All right, time to ring on Mark Tennis. He's the editor and publisher of Cal High Sports Up North. Just an incredible, incredible wealth of information on that website. I encourage everybody to subscribe with that. It basically costs you a cup of coffee every month. They have detailed records throughout the history of California, from our historic Bakersfield teams to Dos Palos, who played in championship game last night, Clovis West, all the schools. It's just loaded for information. Mark's a friend of the show for sure. Mark, how you doing, my friend? Where were you at last night?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on. I was at the Sac Joaquin section championships. They had three games at Hughes Stadium in Sacramento, which has kind of become the site for their games. And it's great for me to get to see more than one team. I see six of them. And I may go back tonight to see St. Mary's play in their game against Rockland, which is a big game in that section. But we'll see how it goes the rest of the day. There's so much going on.
No, there's too much good stuff going on. We got the CAF cross country meet here at Woodward Park. We got huge games at the Save Mart Center tonight. Obviously, last night, great games up and down the state and here in the Central Valley. Clovis North, those guys did it. They're 13-0 on the season. We're talking with Coach Jaycott at the top of the hour. Hey, they just keep winning football games. You've seen them live with your own eyeballs yourself. What was your impression of those guys? It's pretty rare to have such a high-level team that doesn't, you know, throwing the football, you know, isn't their forte. It's running and physicality. It's pretty rare these days.
It's very rare, and they do it at a very, very, very high level, and they can beat pretty much almost anybody they play just by doing that. And they're an intriguing team to watch. You know, the way they block, they have great linemen up front. You know, the linemen, to try to pronounce his name, but the one going to Washington is great, very underrated as a recruit, one of the best offensive tackles I've seen this year. And then they get McKay Madsen blocking or running, and he's a monster and can do so much. It's very tough for teams to stop, you know. And they're definitely, you know, one of the top teams. You know, obviously not with the Bosco Modern Day level. No one is in California and has been for 8, 9, 10 years now, except for one season. And then, but they're right up there if you get to teams like, Sierra Canyon and on down. I don't think they're better than Sarah of San Mateo and probably not better than Corona Centennial, but that they're right there with the top, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams. You know, they're very similar to in accomplishments so far to Central of Fresno 2019 that went undefeated 15-0 and won the D1AA state title.
So Clovis North, you got them ranked around in the 7th or 8th spot overall in the state. Is that where you have them?
Yeah, we have them 7th, yeah.
You have them 7th. So what would be the difference? You mentioned how great Clovis North's offensive line is and those running backs, man. I put that tandem up against anybody in the state. You know, what is the difference? Is it maybe defensively, the defensive secondary? What's the difference? And, again, throwing out modern day and St. John Bosco, and there is 72 D1 recruits that are on those teams combined. So what is the difference?
Probably a little bit of speed on the outside, a little bit of speed on the perimeter would be the difference. I think that's where Sarah probably beats them. They have a little more speed and they can throw it. They can do a power running game if they need to. A little more versatile in what they do, Sarah does. In that range, just a little bit of speed on the outside. And if they do play De La Salle this coming week, De La Salle will have a lot of jet sweeps. They'll inject a lot of guys running to the edge to try to take advantage of that, I would assume.
Talking with Mark Tennis, the editor and publisher of Cal High Sports. Obviously, you're not spokesman for CIF, but is that where you're thinking your projections are that Clovis North is going to be hosting De La Salle?
As far as hosting or not hosting, merely guesswork because De La Salle was on the road for their regional playoff game last year. And a lot of times the CIF likes to switch them back and forth for a team that's in it a lot, like De La Salle. So it's hard to know if they would look at, you know, Clovis North not being in it before, De La Salle traveling 2 years in a row. Who knows? And, of course, the CIF technically could throw a wrench into the whole thing and put Clovis North in the South. And they'd be either going going to or having a team like team which would be Granite Hills of El Cajon coming to them. I don't think they would do that because it's such a long, long road trip for either team. And plus the precedent has been that the teams in the Fresno-Clovis area have been in the north in all the different CIF sports in recent years.
Most of our teams are going up north.
They don't have to.
we've seen that with Clovis West.
Rules that says they have to do that.
We've seen that with the Clovis West girls basketball team, and they've been sent down south, especially before they were winning games, and they were mincemeat, so
correct,
to speak, early before they started winning a lot of games in the playoffs. But, yeah, so remind everybody out there how that works. You mentioned De La Salle last year. Well, they were on the road, and so how they flip-flop. I remember that with Folsom and Central in the 2017-18 season as well. That's kind of how the CIF bases it, right?
That kind of can be how they do it. But they also love Veterans Stadium. They have the state championships there in track every year. So they're familiar with the place and they love it. So there's that too. So and the De La Salle people frankly don't care. I talked to them last week and saw their game, and they were funny. They're like, you know, no offense to Folsom, but we don't really want to play them again because if they weren't playing Clovis North, they'd be playing Folsom for the second time this season, and it would be the 6th time they would play them in the last 3 seasons. And they're just like, we just want something new, want something different. Well, okay, there you go. So they don't really care either way, I don't think. So we'll see how it goes, but I would assume that those two would play each other if Clovis North is in the north, like they should be. So, you know, that De La Salle is definitely the next team in line because they beat Folsom and they beat they didn't beat Pittsburgh, but they're definitely the next team in line.
And remember, De La Salle came and played Kendall Milton-led Buchanan at Veterans Memorial. And I believe Central went to De La Salle in maybe 18. Does that sound about right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And they still have a reputation, lots of plays. They're not what they used to be, but they can still run the ball. Their running backs are different than the Clovis North running backs because they're more short, squatty, super quick, get into the line. The difference between them early in the season and late in the season is on defense. And they've been really – there was one game where San Ramon Valley scored 27, but they held Folsom to 7. They held St. Mary's of Stockton to 10. The second time they played San Ramon Valley, they held them to 7. So, and they have some shutouts late in the season, and they're kind of rolling on defense. They've kind of fixed some things up. Now, they have some guys out, and I don't know if they'll all be healthy, so that could impact them. But their defense is definitely much better, and a lot of that, I think, is because Terry Edson, the longtime defensive coordinator, when they won their 151 straight games, he's now coaching defense again. So, makes
him
a lot better.
It sounds like it. And I know, you know, Clovis North has that punishing offense where they try to limit possessions and, you know, 6-7 minute drives are kind of the normal with the Broncos. Is that a type of defense that, or offense, I should say, that plays into De La Salle's hands, or is De La Salle pretty versatile with their defense?
I think De La Salle can shut down, take away something. You know, they're like a typical Bill Belichick team in the NFL. They're going to take something away from you, and they're not going to let you do it. So you better figure out a secondary or third thing to do to go against them. And their offense is pretty much predicated on the same principles of Clovis North, running the ball 4 or 5 times, march down the field. So if those two teams do, we do get this game coming up, it's going to be over in a couple of hours. It's going to be very quick.
And last night, last night's game actually ended just a little over 2 hours, talking about Central and Clovis North. All right, really quick, Mark, we got about 2 or 3 minutes here. All the Central Section teams that won last night, they get a berth in the state playoffs, correct?
Correct. Everybody gets a game, yeah.
Got it. Okay, so CVC, just talked to Coach Hughes. Their one loss is to Clovis North, ironically. They won last night. Where do you see them landing?
I kind of have them in the 2AA or 2A range. They could play a team like Mission Hill, St. Augustine of San Diego, which is a long trip. If the CIF wants to move some things around, they could try to figure out to make it easier for CVC to possibly play a game against the Southern Section Division 5 champion, which is a game play tonight. It could be Newberry Park. Or they could put them in the north, too. The problem is the CIF has a lot of teams in the central section that are in the northern part of the section, but they also have to have a certain number of teams in the south. They can't be just based on geography. So I'm guessing a team like CVC could actually be in the south, and other teams, whereas a team like, you know, they could easily switch Strathmore and Mendota. Strathmore won the game, so they could be in the south instead of the north, where Mendota maybe be in the north. It gets really confusing because they have to have certain teams, you know, in the on the north or the south. And then they had the problem with Bishop possibly winning, and Bishop is a nightmare because no one really can travel there, and having them travel. And I had Bishop having a bye. Well, they didn't win. Wasco won, so Wasco doesn't have that situation. So Wasco now could go anywhere.
Okay, got it. We got about another minute here talking with Mark Tennis, the editor and publisher of Cal High Sports. All right, so we put a lot of emphasis, at least here in the Central Valley, and I knew state playoffs is a relatively new thing. You know, a lot of weight here in winning a Valley title, so to speak. Up and down the state, what do you think, what do you feel is more important to teams and schools and players and coaches? Is it winning their section title, or is it winning state?
I think it depends on the program. If it's a program that hasn't won in a while, I think winning the section championship definitely is the first step, and viewed as that's the big accomplishment, and anything that happens after that is just like icing on the cake. Then once you get a taste of this of the CIF state tournament, so to speak, and you kind of want to win it, and you kind of want to get in there and win it, and figure out a way where you're going to win it. So that maybe the next season you'll schedule a team that's a little stronger to toughen you up later on, that kind of stuff. But definitely right now, for teams that haven't won in a while or teams that haven't won ever, winning your section is definitely the bigger deal.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. We got to hit a break right now. Mark, really quick, selections come out Sunday, right?
It'd be Sunday, probably around noon, 12:30, 1 o'clock. The section commissioners talk to each other all the time leading up to Sunday morning. And so they've already had a lot of the major discussions on what they're going to do. And so it's just a matter of confirming it in a morning phone call with all of them. But it'll probably be sometime around 12 or 1 o'clock is usually when they come out.
Got it. Great stuff as always, Mark. Really appreciate you. And hopefully I'll see you soon, my friend.
Sure, Paul. Nice to be on with you. Take care. Congrats Absolutely. To all the winners out there.
Congrats indeed.
To everybody.
That's Mark Tennis, publisher and editor of Cal High Sports. We got Clovis North in the house coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You found us here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday, 10 to 12, I'll be taking a couple weeks off during the Christmas break, the last two Saturdays. But I tell you what, it's a ton of fun talking about high school sports and bringing on guests. Had a great conversation with Mark Tennis and Mason Hughes. Got a whole nother hour to break down everything good that happened last night. Lots of good stuff. Again, state cross-country meet right now going on at Woodward Park. High school basketball games tonight at Save Mart Center. Basketball tournaments are going to be here before you know it. There's a lot of holiday tournaments. League play is going to be here in about a month, beginning of January. So lots of good stuff. Life here at First String Sports. First String Sports have done an awesome job supporting high school athletes in the Central Section. They do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. No better place to be. Talk about high school sports than here. If you missed any part of the show or any part of any shows here on 1430 ESPN, just go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno.com website under podcasts. Click on the show here and you can listen to back episodes as well. Well, again, talking to three championship coaches from last night. Talked to Mason Hughes, D2 champ. I'm going to be talking with Jeremy Blackwell from Strathmore. A great story there at the bottom of this hour. Right now we're bringing on Clovis North coach Mike Jacot, Mario Cosma, the quarterback. They won last night, if you haven't heard, with a 24-14 win over Central. They are now 13-0 on the season. The school's second D1 title. Cosma led an offense at quarterback. How about this? Zero interceptions on the year. We talked a lot about this all year. Their ball-controlled offense is absolutely phenomenal. It's something I haven't seen in a long time, if never before happened in the Central Section. A quarterback with zero interceptions on the season. First of all, guys, congrats. Thanks for coming in this morning, First String Sports.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you having us.
You bet. Coach, so you've had some time, a little bit of time, I guess, to reflect on last night. You know, even Mason Hughes said fourth quarter was kind of a blur. You know, just things just happened so fast. You're in the moment. When that clock hit zero, did things fully hit you? Or maybe at a time last night when you talked to somebody or hugged a player, when does it fully hit you that you guys won D1?
I think it hit me when on the fourth down incomplete, actually, and we were going to run out there and take a knee formation. You know, that's when it really set in right there. We were excited, started celebrating. You know, I know Coach Brandstetter always finishes our walkthrough with take a knee, and that's how we want to finish games. And so it was awesome to finish that way last night.
And I saw those hugs right away. I saw the hugs on the sideline and the embrace, and just, yeah, that was great. That was, you know, really, really fun to see. Mario, when did it hit you? Did it hit you at that same moment or when you were celebrating with the guys? When did it finally hit you?
I would say when we kicked the field goal to make the score 24-14, I kind of realized that it was a two-score game and there was only 2 minutes left, and it just kind of sank into me that we're going to win this football game. We're going to be the Division I champs.
I did too. I felt it at that moment. That was a huge part of the game. And, you know, a little bit of question mark whether they're not going to go for it fourth and two, but you had a lot of confidence in your kicker to make it a two-score game. Two scores with the 151 would have been really tough for Central to overcome. But, yeah, Mario, when you call that victory formation, when you call taking a knee, are you making that call, or is Brandstetter making it from the sidelines and everybody knew when you got to the line, or are you like, victory formation? How did that go?
Well, I already know we're going to be in victory formation. Obviously, you know, there's only 40 seconds left. But, yeah, Coach Brandstetter told me victory formation, just, you know, that sense of happiness kind of just poured in, you know, and it really just hit me that, you know, all the work we put in through the off season, during the season, and it paid off, and we're 13-0 by champs.
Was there something that you said after the game to some guys, you know, hey, guys, we did it, or I can't believe we did it, or what were some of the things you guys were talking about on the field?
You know, I was just talking about how far we've came. You know, I always think back to the lowest point on our team when last year, our first opening game of the season, we took a 35-0 loss.
To Memorial.
And just to think how far we came as a team, it's really insane to think about, you know. So I was just talking about that a lot and how, you know, we've really built relationships and I've built relationships with my players being a transfer coming here. And it's just really special to build these strong relationships.
We're going to be talking about the game specifics. So, Coach, I want to ask you about Mario and this season. You know, I mentioned the stats with the zero interceptions. I think it was the fourth game that I've been able to watch you guys this year. The precision, the control that he has at quarterback, having a guy that's an extension of the coaching staff as well. What has Mario brought to the program at Clovis North?
Well, I think, again, he's completely underrated out there. And, you know, his work ethic in the weight room, you know, when I tell him, hey, you don't need to do X, Y, Z, let's take it easy. I have to make sure you're, you know, and he lifts right there with all the guys. He's pushing weight. We're running sprints. I mean, he has a goal for himself. He sets a high standard. I think that's in the classroom and everything he does. And that's carried over to the field, and to be able to come into our program, you know, he came in the spring of his sophomore year, and not only I think earned the trust and respect of his peers and coaches, especially in our program, says a lot about him and who he is and how he's handled the situation.
How about on the field? What does he bring to the table besides all those, you know, all those things and more? The consistency, being able to throw the ball in clutch situations, all those things.
I think the this year especially is, you know, we put a lot more on him in terms of understanding in our run game, you know, how to get us into the right play. You know, last year I think hey, this is a play call, we're on it, we're getting overloaded on the side, oh well, we're just running it. This year we you know, put a lot of time, Coach Brandstetter and Mario work together as far as, you know, hey, we see this look or this number count or identifying this guy as the guy we want to block, and with the way defenses, you know, start to attack us, that's multiple. A safety means a lot of different things, you know, the way defenses line up now. And so he had to handle all that. And then he doesn't get credit. And I don't think that the typical fan out there truly understands the amount of time he has to put in to do that. And then throwing the ball, you know, again, we throw it minimal, obviously. But what's so impressive is his accuracy. He puts the ball where it needs to be and to give our guy a chance to win. Which again, zero interceptions. I think that's the zero interceptions in, you know, however many times we run the ball, no fumbles, nothing from an exchange standpoint, whether it's shotgun or under center. It's just a testament to the attention to detail that he puts into what he does.
I agree. Great assessment. And I thought I saw last night a lot more shotgun formations than I've seen well. So a lot more chances to, you know, for mistakes to happen. So I want to get into the game now, guys. So 14-7, you guys are down at halftime. That second half defense was absolutely on fire. You know, we talked about a little bit after the game, Coach, that you guys are not used to being down in games. You've only been down, shout out to Gabe Camarillo for doing these deep dive stats, but you guys have only been down for 8% of the entire season you've been on the field, which is wild. So meaning, let's see if my common core math is good, 92% you guys have had the lead when you're on the field, which is remarkable. You guys find yourself down in the Central Section Championship game where things can get tight. Like, guys, what are we doing? Come on, we can't lose this game. Those types of thoughts can sneak in to a team, especially at halftime. How was the team's demeanor at halftime, and what was the message?
Well, I think you mentioned the word tight, and that was our kind of theme throughout the week, as I felt going into the first time we played Central. You know, we're 9-0 at the time. We got a chance to be the outright champ, and I think that 10-0 thing was lingering throughout the week, and you could just tell our practice, and again, not an effort thing, but we were tight, and I think we were a little tight in that game. And then the same thing in the semifinal game. I felt like we played a little tight, and you know, and especially down the stretch. So coming into this week, the one thing we talked about as a staff and with the players is there. You guys have done this all year. Like, there's no more big games. You've played them in all of them, and so this is just another big game. And we got to go in and play this thing to win, and you know, not to lose. And so we went in, and the guys at the half, they were fired up. You know, I think they were a little frustrated with, you know, that they weren't performing. Maybe they, in their eyes, weren't performing as well. But credit to Central for, you know, how they came out and attacked us, and you know, and what they were trying to do. And then obviously credit to our guys and our coaching staff for making adjustments and coming back and playing a better second half.
And what were some of those specific adjustments that you guys made? I thought did a good job of taking away the deep ball. They had a couple seam routes, right? You guys did a good job suppressing their running game. But what were some specific adjustments that you thought was the difference in the second half?
I think we just basically – the big part was getting our outside guys, our nickel, and strong safety especially. You know, we came into them with a mindset of Central was going to try to get the ball out to the perimeter, you know, now out of the quarterback's hand. So we were aggressive to, you know, the bubbles and the little bit of the now screens, which opened up that curl, you know, and skinny post basically. And so second half, we told those guys, hey, let's be a little more patient on those things. Let's sink a little bit more, and then we'll rally to those outs. And then, you know, and that was really about it defensively. It was more identifying how they're attacking us and, you know, and then start to play to that. And obviously we had some, you know, we talk about it all year about a team effort, and we had some guys really step up defensively that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, the guys that make the big plays all the time. And they came through at really key points for us. And I think that's, for us defensively at least, that was the difference in that for us.
Two interceptions.
Yeah.
Those two interceptions
were
huge.
Big ones.
Yeah, and I guess after I reviewed the game on television last night, I think it was like you get home and you're trying to wind down a little bit and you're watching the game. So I rewound the game, and you know, that it was tied 14-14, and your number 85 came up with a huge play. It looked like Central was going to come down the field. They were clicking on offense, and your dude off the line, off the end, jumped up, batted a ball down, and intercepted it, caught it himself. So, you know, talk about that play. I think you said you guys worked on that a little bit, and that kid, number eight, I forgot his name.
Darius Story.
Yeah. Made, you know, a legendary type play in that game.
Absolutely. And Darius is a, you know, he has an interesting story with in our program. And so to see where he's come and to get to the point where he's at, I'm really proud of him. And, you know, he's been close all year with a couple of those bat downs and just kind of had missed a few opportunities. But, yeah, huge play. What's interesting about that is when we were kind of making our turnaround as a program and battling Central, Zach Reimer, who plays on the other side, he had one of those plays in the Central game as well, a bat pick, and took it back to the 2-yard line that we scored in. So our bookend DNs have had big plays in those games. But that came obviously at a crucial time where, you know, obviously, you know, in my mind, probably put the game out of reach for us. We knew we'd be able to take the ball down and, you know, burn a lot of clock and come away with some points. So.
Yeah, I felt like that was probably the key point in that game. Talk with Mike Jacot and Mario Cosma from Clovis North. Mario, I want to ask you kind of that same type of question we heard from coach's perspective about being down at halftime, rallying the troops, not playing tight, coming out in the second half. Kind of how were you able to calm the nerves? You're the quarterback. You're the leader of the team. You obviously have some studs on the team. You know, there's 11 guys out there on offense, but did you feel like it was your responsibility, so to speak, to play a calm second half, say, hey, guys, we got this. The score is 0-0. We just play our game, and everything's going to work out?
you know, we knew if we just kept doing what we were doing, we were eventually going to gash them. And we just need to keep playing our game. Coach Brandt there reminded us that we don't get tight. We got this. If we play our game and execute in the second half, I promise you we're going to win this game. And when he told us that, we kind of settled down like and realized we're the better football team and we just need to play like it and we're going to win this game.
Was it harder playing in a little bit colder temperature?
Yeah, I think that might be the coldest game I've ever played in, definitely. You know, I know when I was breathing, I could just see the air coming out. So, yeah, it was. But once you get into warm-ups and stuff, you get running, and you start getting a little hotter. So eventually I settled into that.
No, you did. You did a great job. And you threw the ball 12 times in the first half. I think you only threw the ball 2 times in the second half. Obviously, that's the team's MO is run the football. When you feel like you have your opportunity to throw the football, right, and the play call is like, okay, you got this option, you got an underneath route, you got another curl that's a little bit deeper. You know, what's your mindset? Again, 0 interceptions, which is remarkable. Are you like, hey, I just got to take care of the football, make my throws, trust my guys? What are you thinking when your number's called on a play?
You know, when they call a pass play in the huddle, I'm just thinking of, you know, just all the responsibilities I have. You know, there's flipping protections, going through progressions and things like that. And I have full confidence in myself that I'm going to complete the pass no matter what. Coach Brandster, you know, we have a lot of team pass periods during practice, so it really helps when it comes to the game. It's like, you know, this isn't foreign to us. We could pass the ball. And I think, you know, if we wanted to pass the ball 40 times, maybe it wouldn't be as effective.
Yeah.
But we could do that, you know.
And you had Vincent down the sideline. Your one chance at a super deep ball and just a little bit underthrown, I guess. I've actually thought that the Vincent caught it on the sideline.
Yeah, I think the guy made a good play on it. He kind of came over the top. It was over the shoulder, and he kind of, like, tipped at the last second. So it was just a really good play by, I think it was number 11. So.
And you guys have hit on a few of those this season. I want to get back to Coach here. Okay, McKay Madsen, you know, obviously Jackson Sinfeld is a phenomenal running back, and he ran super tough last night. And he's gotten a lot of credit, and so does McKay. But last night it was McKay all over the field. Number 3 was a nightmare for Central. Those 3 touchdowns, especially the first one and the third, were incredible runs.
Yeah, he obviously something that, you know, he's been doing since his freshman year for us.
And he's only a junior.
Yeah, he's only a junior. you know, and he really obviously was a, I want to say a breakout game, but obviously he got to be highlighted. And, you know, I was watching the film this morning, and again, I always flash back because, you know, the 3 guys that we have back there, you know, Andrew Chavez, another guy, just doesn't get enough credit, but last night the way he ran the ball, he broke more tackles on 2 or 3 of those runs. And I mean, there was one play, I don't know, we ran a counter play, and I'm pretty sure he ended up with about 20-25 yards, and he broke 4 or 5 tackles, and I'm not talking arm tackles, I mean they were legit tackles that he just ran through. You know, and so obviously when you don't have those big 30-40 yard runs, you know, you're not going to get, you know, obviously as much publicity. But it was definitely a special night for McKay. I think what I was more impressed with, because we expect that out of him on the offensive side of the ball, and defensively he really, you know, stepped into his own as far as the physicality. He made some really big hits. Played with just a little bit of a different temperament, I think, defensively, which I was really proud to see that.
In coverage, made a couple big hits,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Just those hits that you go, ooh, as a broadcaster, and could hear it on the sidelines and in the stands as well. And then he stood tall on the run game as well, you know, filling some gaps. Mario, I want to ask you, what – just thinking about the season as a whole, obviously last night's very, very fresh. You got a great view of all those runs that Coach Jaycott just described. What's been your favorite play this entire season? Has there been a play maybe you've worked on or practiced, like, hey, Coach, you know, maybe going to Brandster, like, hey, Coach, if we run this play, it's going to work. I know it. I know I can see it. So has there been something special this year that stands out?
Yeah, there's actually one play that stands out to me.
Jaycott's smiling, so I think he knows where this is going.
So there was a play versus Clovis West, and, you know, I'm typically, you know, a pro-style pocket passer, but in this situation, you know, no one was open. I kind of took off, and against Clovis West, I dove over the goal line, kind of like Superman jumped over the goal line and put the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. And I think that was probably one of the most significant touchdowns I've ever had. We ended up winning by one touchdown, and I felt like if we didn't score there, we weren't going to win that game. So I felt like that was just a really big-time play, and I've never done something like that. So it was pretty cool. I didn't even know I could do that. So
is that one of those plays, Coach, where you're like, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. I guess it worked.
Well, I think any time I see him starting to run, there's been some times early in the year, and he knows from the off-season training, and, you know, he's always talking about, I'm going to get faster. And, you know, there's been some times where, you know, he's pulled the ball on something, and he's had a – and I'm thinking, this thing's going to go for 20 yards. And then I'm like, wait a minute, why is it 2nd and 7 right now? What happened here? And but that touchdown, was that on 4th down too?
That was on 4th down.
It was on 4th down, yeah. It was on 4th down. And the way he not only doing it running but sold out to get it. You know, he didn't slide. I've seen quarterbacks, you know, kind of he didn't do that. I mean, he sold out to get the touchdown. And yeah, I think he's right. Without that one, I don't know that we go on and win that one.
Yeah, you guys are undefeated, 13-0. You guys defeated Central to win your first D1 Central Section title in what, 10 years? Right, 2012,
12, 13, 12. I think 12. Was it? Yeah, they won. We North won.
Mario, what has been? I guess you could say, you know, why is this team so tight? You know, I've had McKay and Jackson on the show. They were just incredible guys, well-spoken. Peyton Britter was on the show, you know. And what makes this team just – Braden, right? Sorry, Braden. What makes the team just so tight?
You know, I think Coach Jacon, everyone describes his team as relentless. No matter what the score is, we could be up 50-0, down 50-0, but we're still going to have the same standard. The bar is the bar. It doesn't move. And I think that's the MO of this team, that it doesn't matter – what half it is, what quarter, we're still going to come out and we're going to give you the best we got for 4 quarters.
And I think, Mario, your reflection of that, you mentioned, hey, I'm a pocket passer. You very easily could throw 25 to 30 times a game and, you know, put up 30 passing touchdowns, but you're sitting here as a Central Section champ. So I think that says a lot about you and your mentality. Coach, what, from your perspective, you know, what, how has this team just gelled so perfectly to sit in this situation right now?
Well, they've been together for a long time. I think that's first and foremost. I mean, I would say, yeah, 95% of our team was together in junior high. You know, they came up playing Stampede football together, you know, the feeder program. And then when you talk about, you know, Mario mentioned, you know, the bar is the bar, standard is a standard, and I think that's a reflection of Clovis Unified in general, and at Clovis North, especially, you know, finding that fit as far as what my personality is. You know, I think the one thing that our school does, in my opinion, better than anybody is, I don't care what it is, you know, whether it's our phenomenal band, our basketball team, our girls volleyball, softball, our academics, everyone has an extremely high standard there, and I think that's the product of what you get in the kids at our school, and I think you're going to see that in all of our sports teams and all of our co-curricular stuff that they do there. It really is a unique place Clovis North is, and I always say we're the Ivy League of the Clovis Unified, and because we are challenged in. I mean, our teachers there do a great job, and they challenge our students. And I tell kids when they come in, I mean, I don't care if you're an athlete, you got to do both parts. And it's a testament to our kids because that's the type of kids we have.
Let's go back a few years, Coach, to, you know, the COVID season. You guys played 3 games. You know, most people know the story. You guys, you know, got beat by Central 69-0. Did you shut out, like, did you have a couple more games on the schedule and you guys said, or is it just the 3 games?
You're talking about for the, during the spring?
Correct. The COVID? Spring. Yeah. No, it just seems like a distant memory. It's crazy, right?
It is. And it was a 5-game basically league season. That was all it was going to be. It was 5 games. And we ended up, We played our first game, which was Clovis East in whatever, March, and that was when we were doing the testing, and I actually, myself and my son, tested positive when we had to do the mandatory testing. So we didn't even go to the game. I didn't get to go to the game. And so they played that game, and then we ended up having some more players and coaches test positive the following week. So we had to shut down, and at that time it was whatever it was, a two-week minimum. So we ended up missing the Clovis High game and Clovis West, which was kind of through spring break, so we weren't even together.
Wow.
So we went from playing a game to being apart for 2 weeks and then coming back and having to play Buchanan and Central back-to-back. And again, credit to the kids that stuck with it and the way they fought and played. And just we weren't ready. And you know, we literally met the next morning, Saturday morning after that game, and said, off season starts Monday, you know. And we hit the ground running, and we haven't looked back.
If I would have told you then, at that moment, that in 2023 you guys would be undefeated, Central Section D1 champs, you would have said what?
Maybe not undefeated, but Central Section Division I champs, yeah, I could see that.
Why?
Because, again, just the group of kids that we had coming up through the program, we knew what our lower levels looked like. We knew the type of you know, we know what the type of school we are. We know the type of coaching staff we have. And you know, we never felt like we were a program that was, you know, in disarray. We were just having some bad luck. So we knew we were going to bounce back, and we knew we had the kids and, you know, that class that stayed and played in the official 2021 season in the fall, you know, really laid that, you know, second brick, so to speak, and led the way for our 24 class. And, you know, and then now here we sit.
Talking with Mike Jaycott and Mario Cosma from Clovis North. You got a couple minutes here, guys. I want to start with you, Mario. What is something quirky or funny about these guys that you can share? Is there somebody that has like a terrible taste in music or likes a weird type of food, or is there something funny that happened on a road trip or before or after a game?
I don't think there's a word to describe, but we have a lot of, you know, goobers on our team, a lot of goofballs. They're all really really great kids, but they're all, you know, goofers and like to goof off and things like that. You know, they have a great sense of humor and things like that. And that's why when I came in here, I really just love these guys. They're the nicest people I've ever met, seriously. I mean, I felt like it was a family atmosphere when I came in here, and it really has been ever since.
Jaycott, Coach, is there a funny story you can share about these guys?
I don't know about it. Just the fact that Mario used those words and how he fit right in. I mean, I think that's the classic part right there is the personality of our players, they're I've said it all year long, we have really, really good kids, and it makes it fun to coach. You know, they give me a hard time about, you know I'm the zero fun coach, and but the reality is when we're off the football field or out of the weight room, I think they've seen that other side of me and know that, you know, I like to have fun too. But it's just they're a fun group of kids, fun personalities, and I'm looking forward to coaching, you know, the next group in here that's, you know, going to be a product of what these guys have done.
And the season's not over, right?
No,
you are going to feel, I don't know if you heard my talk with Mark Tennis from Cal High Sports. So, yeah, thinking De La Salle, we don't know. I thought for sure it's going to be at Veterans. Well, maybe I said 94% sure at the beginning of the show. But, yeah, you guys might be traveling there. So we'll wait to see Sunday. So if it is De La Salle, Clovis North, De La Salle in the first round for a trip to go to the state championship game, How fun would that be, and what a great experience, right, for your program and your kids?
Yeah, it was an awesome experience to play a storied program like De La Salle, and then maybe be able to travel up there. Obviously, you'd love to play at home, but to be able to travel there and to be a part of, you know, again, you know, that's a program that I grew up reading about. And so, it's a great opportunity for our school and I think our district and our league and yeah, I hope we could be a great representative of it.
It would be a great game. It'd be an absolute great. I think you'd have a lot of people that would go to that game. Maybe even casual high school football fans, casual fans would be showing up at Veterans Memorial Stadium if it's here. I think it'd be great for our central section. Mario, really quick, got to take a break, but how are you able to put into words what this season, what this team means to you?
I don't think there's really one word to describe it. This team really means everything to me. I mean, we've stuck together ever since. No matter if it was a loss or a great win, we stuck together no matter what. Our guys showed up every day. You know, we never miss. And no matter if it's an off-season workout, no matter if it's a regular practice, a summer practice, spring practice, you know, we emphasize never missing. And so we've stuck together and we've stuck it out together. We've had our battles and we made it out on top.
Coach Jay Cott, who's going to design these rings, man? These kids are all in these huge old fat rings. You got any ideas yet about these?
You know, I was just – my parents were in town for Thanksgiving, and they came last week to the Clovis East game, and so they've been kind of coming, and we were talking about it last night. I feel like I'm so far behind right now. We don't even have any track champion shirts. I mean, we don't have anything right now. It's just been about, you know, trying to win football games, so – we'll worry about designing rings hopefully after two more football games. So,
well, these kids are all into that stuff. I'm sure they're gonna have certain ideas. That's for darn sure. But you guys definitely earned it. It's been a fun ride so far. It's not over, but congrats on a great season, Coach. You know, I've been privy to watching you guys grow as a program, especially these last 3 years from those times that you talked about where you got beat by Central 69-0, and here you are. You can call yourselves D1 champs forever. So congrats, and thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you greatly. All right, coming up after the break, another great story, man. This has been a fun show. Jeremy Plackwell, the head coach at Strathmore, who had a death scare, no joke. He almost passed away this summer. The guy leads the Strathmore Spartans to a D6 title with the win over Mendota. Can't wait to talk to him next on 1430 ESPN. Foo Fighters, Learn to Fly, one of my favorite songs. Hey, fun fact about that song, actually. Played that song at my wedding. We had a slideshow, and so we're in a church, so it might be the first time ever the Foo Fighters were played inside a sanctuary at church. Fun fact. Love Dave Grohl. Does a great job. All right. We got Coach Jeremy Blackwell. Strathmore Spartans defeated Mendota 14-7. Last night to win the D6 Central Section title. I had a good conversation with Coach while driving home. He made the drive from Mendota back home. So had a great conversation with him. He was super pumped about getting this victory. So, Coach, how are you feeling this fine morning after winning a Central Section title?
Well, you wake up and it's a whole new day. And it's a remarkable thing that our kids pulled off something that from the – Let me finish the thought for a second. Hold on. Hey, our football season started off, and, man, we were sloppy and not very good. And, man, for them to come back and make it to a final and then avenge a early loss to a Mendota team, that Mendota team was pretty legit. You know, they could drive the football down the field and not make any mistakes. And we couldn't stop them at all the first time we played them. I don't think we forced any punts at all. And they were punting a lot last night. And our special teams really lit up the scoreboard. We had one punt return taken off the board. And Jacob took, I think, about a 70 or an 80-yard kick return to the house. And our defense just was lights out, man. It's just remarkable that this football team made the turnaround that they made somewhere around week 5 or 6. You know, they really grew up. We had a freshman defensive end starting the whole year, and he grew up. His first high school experience is win a Valley Championship. You know, we set the bar kind of high for this guy, poor little guy. I think there's 4 or 5 sophomores that just won a Valley Championship. And, you know, the senior class, it's the same for everybody, but the senior class, those guys didn't even – in Porterville, we didn't get any football in that 2020 year. We didn't get to play that spring season either. So these guys got chipped on that football experience. But, man, you know, it's paying off for them this year. They got 4 extra games in the playoffs, and now we get to go to a 5th.
You do, and you're riding a five-game winning streak right now. The season didn't start off too hot. You mentioned that loss to Mendota. That was in week three, 20-0. They shut you guys out. You had an opening season loss to Exeter, who turned out to be a really good football team. Have that loss against Orosi and then Corcoran, a couple tight games. But what, coach, what has been the turnaround for this season? Again, five-game winning streak. How have the guys come together to win these football games?
I think they were just very young, inexperienced. They didn't necessarily, like, they knew the offense, they knew the defense, but they're not playing with reckless abandon. And so as you know, every coach says the same thing. You come together, you got to love each other and care about each other. And I don't want to let anybody down, but you got to let it loose and just fly and go play football and execute the details of your assignment with great effort. And our defense has really been just doing that. They just let it fly, man. Because they know their alignment, assignment, and key, they can just let it fly and go get after them. And they have. And our offense has taken a lot longer than it's ever taken in the past. But it's slowly coming around, and we're just about to start peaking. I don't think that we've played our best football yet. I know every coach says that too, but I don't think we've played our best football yet. We've got so much talent, you know, God-given talent, that all this potential, and we got to live up to it. So we get two more. Well, we're anticipating two more chances.
Absolutely. You're going to find out tomorrow where you guys are going to be playing in your state playoff game. But let's go back to last night against Mendota. You mentioned, you know, their defense played really lights out against you guys in your first meeting. Game was tied 7 at half. How did the second half play out?
I think it kind of just came down to will and desire. I've heard a couple of our kids in the locker room were like, "Coach, it felt like their defense was just starting to slip." Like, I don't know if they were gassed or if they, you know, maybe reality was kicking in, because our guys had hunger, and you know, hungry dogs hunt best, man. So we were grinding at them, and I don't like to throw too many props to my coaching staff, but I got to say they had a remarkable plan second half. They made a little adjustment here and there, and we caught them twice with the little tight end pop pass. And this Julian Ceballos, he's just a remarkable. He's one of our senior defensive ends and a tight end, and he caught the one ball that put us on the 1 yard line to go with the go ahead tug, and then he also. Right at the end of the game, we're just trying to kill the clock. It's 3rd and 4, I believe. Check that. It's 4th and 4, and Mendota loaded up the box. They're going to stop the run, and we throw a little pop pass again. And Julian had the smarts to run down. He got to the 1 yard line, dropped down, so that way Mendota had exhausted all of their timeouts, and we were able to just put a knee on it. He could have been the selfish guy. He went and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
He chose not to do that. And we did not coach him up to do that. He just had the football sense to do it. We did warn him about 3 plays in, like, everybody stay in bounds.
Yeah.
So I guess that end zone counts as a boundary too. But he went down. It was very smart of him, and they didn't have any more chances. He got us a rally championship, man.
That is awesome. Yeah, could have got a touchdown in the Central Section Championship game, but decided to lay down and guarantee that victory. Heads up move by one of your star players, Coach. I want to ask you about Strathmore a little bit. We had a good texting conversation earlier this week. You know, about growing up in Lindsay and, you know, coaching at Strathmore all these years. You know, I competed for 4 years against the Lindsays and the Woodlakes playing for Emmanuel. We would take all those long drives. What's special about the rural schools and the one town, you know, one school towns that, you know, everyone shuts down for Friday night lights? What's so special about places like Strathmore?
I came from Lindsay, and I hated Strathmore with a passion. You know, we called them all. It was Trashmore. They were called Strathmorons. And so one day I was driving by and I dropped off an application, and bam, I got a job there. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm some sort of loyal dude because I can't leave anywhere I go. So I'm just a lifer in Strathmore, and I was called a traitor, all kinds of things. But they've embraced me, and I get so much love out there. there's nowhere I could go to get as much love as Strathmore's given me personally. And so you got to give it back, right? And here's just a little taste of it, man. As we're leaving, no, check this. Yesterday morning, our little Strathmore booster program, you know, there's four or five families that put it all together. They came out and put a pancake breakfast together for the kids at 8 a.m. You know, we go home, we come back, and there's a whole bunch of parents, like people lined up on the streets cheering us on out of town. And Sheriff Mike Boudreau has us an escort all the way to the game. And then we win a football game, and they escort us with the lights on all the way home. It was really cool, man. I guess that's small town America. I feel like it's one of those Texas towns, you know, where,
yeah,
like you say, the whole town shuts down. And we have a remarkable concession stands out there, and it's rock and roll fever, dude. All the 80s rocks of AC/DC rocking out every single home game. So it's worth coming to experience at least once.
That's awesome. Talking with Jeremy Blackwell, head coach at Strathmore. You guys have a couple street lights, right? Because I remember when I drive through town, there was only stop signs.
There's two red lights.
Two red lights.
And I'll tell you what, a couple of times we've played those teams from out of town, and the coach calls me like, dude, where's the school? If you drive more than about 40, a quarter of a mile past a red light, you're going to miss us completely. Don't blink, right?
Don't blink, right? And I'm sure there's only a couple stores where more like you know, the gas stations, you know, slash food market slash store, right?
Yeah, we're getting a brand new Shell gas station right on the corner of 65 and the main road in Strathmore. So, hey, we're living it up out there.
Heck yeah. Coach, I have to ask you, and your story is so great. I've mentioned this on air in the past. This summer you had an accident at your house, and you were in the hospital in a self-induced coma for 8 days, and you've come out of it. It's just a testament to, you know, the power of people and the power of prayer, how you've come through this and, you know, capped off by a Central Section title during Thanksgiving week. Just makes it a remarkable story. Can you just, for people out there listening that don't know your story, what happened to you this summer, can you just let everybody know exactly what you went through and the people that helped you?
You know, I can tell you what I think I know, but I've kind of pieced it together in the months that followed. I was mowing the lawn. It was the first hot day of the year, and I guess I wasn't drinking enough water or whatever. I mowed the lawn. I proceeded to barbecue some. I think I was going to barbecue some bratwurst, and I had the grill on. The next thing I know, I wake up. It's 8 days later, and I was in a medically induced coma. What I've kind of pieced together is I think maybe I raised the grill and passed out. I don't know. All I know is I passed out, slammed my head on the brick, and I had just watered the lawn because I mowed, and I laid in a mud puddle and proceeded to, I think it's aspirated on mud. And so they took me in. I wake up, it's 8 days later. And by the grace of God, my wife came out probably at about the right time, and she saved my life. She thought I was passed out drunk on the lawn. She's like, what are you doing? And I didn't respond. She's like, dude. And so she called the paramedics, and 8 days later I woke up and I was here. And I'd just been told this. I don't remember any of this either. They had me on a lot of crazy drugs when I was in the hospital. But she said that all I kept talking about whenever I woke up was, hey, I got to be at football practice in a week and a half. So apparently I love football as much as I say I do.
And, you know, when you first started to come out of that and realize that, you know, try to piece together, even at this point in your life, you're trying to piece some things together. You know, talk about the community, how they rallied behind you and the support from your family. I saw all those pictures and those posts that you made on social media. So you know, what did that exactly mean to you, the power of community and people?
Well, you know, I woke up the first, when I became cognizant, the first thing I noticed was my daughter was on my left, my wife was on the right, and Coach Bowser, our defensive coordinator, but he was also my high school football coach,
since he was my eighth grade PE teacher. So I've known him since 1985, I believe. And he was sitting on my right. So I'm surrounded by all the people who love me, I guess. And then one of the RN nurses came in and she was like, "Mr. Blackwell, there's like 50 or 60 people out there waiting to see you. So we kind of need to make some sort of round robin where people are going to come in and out." That made me feel pretty good. And I got real emotional, I got to tell you, man. I don't want to sound like a crybaby, but, you know, it was coaches from up and down the valley and the outpouring of people on the Facebook messages. And I think I had 140 text messages like, you know, "Hey, what happened? Are you okay? We're praying for you." And I really do believe in the power of prayer. And I know God saved my life. And I know I'm here for a purpose, and I got to live up to that purpose. And I'm not sure football is that purpose, but maybe that's the tool to get messages across, you know?
Absolutely. Talking with Jeremy Blackwell and his incredible story, and the Strathmore Spartans were able to win a Central Section title last night against Mendota. I believe it's your seventh title game that you've played in. You got that state championship as well. Was that 2017, Coach? State championship?
17, correct.
2017. Yep. Just an incredible career. Coach, we got about another minute here. Everything that you've been through, you know, your commitment to the community, commitment to the kids, teaching them the game of life and football as well. You know, how incredible is it for you guys as a team to celebrate a victory? And what does that mean to you and your family and the kids and the community of Strathmore?
Well, I feel like our job is to help these guys grow up to be men, good American men, you know, help instill character and morals. But you should to get on our bus last night. They just won a Valley Championship, and they want to celebrate, and they did. And just the innocence that those guys have, this is a very naive, goofy bunch of football. We're rocking out to Miley Cyrus and Katy Perry a couple of times. Like, what are you guys listening to? It's just a great group of guys. Hey, the little baby celebration that we got to have on the field, you know, all the parents out there. I just thank God that they let me coach their kids. And it's a remarkable experience. This whole football season, the way it started to the way it's not done, but the way it's finishing, it's something that we'll remember forever.
Absolutely. And, Coach, I can't wait for that victory parade. Shut that town down, man. Get those two traffic lights going. They'll throw a parade for you, I'm sure.
We've done it once. We had one parade, and we might have to bring that back.
I think so. A couple more games left in the state playoffs. So, Coach, great to get to know you for this last week or so. Congrats on that win, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
You bet. That was Jeremy Blackwell from Strathmore. We'll take a quick break and wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN. Panic on the brain. World is gone insane. Things are starting to. All right. That's a wrap. Had a really fun 2 hours in the show with some 21 Pilots. Interesting fun fact about that show. Or about that song, 21 Pilots, they did that song during the COVID. They were trapped inside and came out with that song. Hey, love talking about high school sports, man. This show just absolutely flowed throughout. Loved having Coach Mike Jaycott and Mario Cosma from the Central Section D1 champs, Clovis North Broncos. They actually stayed and listened to that whole interview with Jeremy Blackwell from Strathmore. And what a great story. They kept shaking their heads at the things that he went through. I mean, self-induced coma for 8 days and comes back and coaches his team throughout the season. He told me through a text message that he didn't feel himself until like week 6 against Arosi. And here he is, a champion. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez, who has manned the show at home base. Mason Hughes, Division II Championship, Central Valley Christian Cavaliers. We'll find out tomorrow where everybody plays. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.